In Memphis, the Mississippi is at its highest point since 1937. The river is expected to crest at 48 feet over flood stage as soon as late today. Much of the city itself is expected to stay relatively dry, but low-lying areas of Shelby County could be in trouble. Officials with the Army Corps of Engineers are confident that levees and flood walls protecting the area are strong and intact. Communities downstream, though, in Mississippi, Arkansas, and Louisiana will face their flood crests later. If you're in the Mississippi Valley, call and tell us what it's been like this spring and what we should learn from this historic flood. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Jim Pogue joins us from member station WKNO in Memphis. He's a public affairs officer with the Army Corps of Engineers. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Good afternoon.
And as I understand it, the problem there in and around Memphis is along the tributaries primarily, not the Mississippi itself.
That's right. The Mississippi mainline levee system protects the community and communities along the river from the Mississippi River itself. But there are a number of tributaries like the Wolf River, the Loosahatchee, and those rivers are experiencing backwater flooding where the pressure from the Mississippi River is so great that it's forcing the water back and causing flooding in some of the low-lying areas.
So, in other words, these are normally contributing water to the greater flow of the Mississippi. Now it's gone the other way.
Absolutely correct.
And as you look at those prospects, when do you expect the worst to happen?
We're looking at the river cresting probably late today or tomorrow. We expect it to stay high for another couple of days and then start to fall real slowly.
And, of course, this has been rolling downstream all spring long.
That's right. We have seen in the last 2 weeks approximately 600% of what we would normally expect to see in precipitation, and the storms just marched across the Mississippi and Ohio River valleys and dumped inches and inches and inches of rain. And this is what we call a project flood. It's the worst that we planned for. And it's testing our system to the limits, but it's up to the challenge.
Some people don't say project flood. They just go straight to biblical.
I wouldn't argue.
And as you look at this project flood, if you will, a lot of these constructions were set up after the last huge flood back in 1937. And were lessons drawn properly? Did things get made right?
You know, we're always learning. There's always better ways to do things, but the system is operating the way we intended. The Birds Point, New Madrid floodway that was in the news about a week ago so much.
That's about 130,000 acres of farmland that was flooded when a levee was blown up.
That's right, and that was all part of the pre-designed plan to take pressure off the system because the system of levees and flood walls and reservoirs that we use to control the river as much as we can, were being pressed to the limit, and we needed to take that pressure off. It was a heart-wrenching decision that General Walsh, our boss, made. He pondered it and pondered it, and finally there just wasn't any option, and it was necessary to operate that floodway.
And it may have been designed as a floodway to be there in case it was needed. That didn't make it any easier for the farmers whose crops are lost and whose houses are underwater.
That's right. But we're looking at well over 2 million acres protected by operating that floodway that was inundated with approximately 130-some thousand acres. So, you know, you can't make comparisons that, you know, one is better than the other, but it was the right option. It was the right decision.
And further decisions are going to have to be made downstream in Louisiana in particular, whether to release water into Lake Pontchartrain or down into the bayous.
Once again, those spillways, those floodways are designed to protect populated areas. The areas in those spillways, the Marganza and the Bonnie Carey, are very sparsely populated, if at all, and there is an ecological element. But once again, that's what they're designed for. And when we come up against a flood like this, a project flood, a biblical flood, whatever terminology you want to use, then we have to use every tool in our kit to make sure that that we're doing all we can to protect the lives and property of the greatest number of people in the valley.
We want to hear from those of you in the Mississippi Valley who've experienced this project flood this past spring, whether you were in Fargo with the Red River or the North, or in Des Moines, Iowa, whether you're in St. Louis or Memphis right now, whether you're further downstream, looking forward to the crest there. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And Jim Pogue, as the Corps, well, obviously you're dealing with a crisis right now, but there are all kinds of ideas to give the river back a little bit more of its land and maybe make room for floods like this, which seem to be happening more frequently.
Well, that's one of the things that we do. The lessons learned, the after-action reports that that we always do after this, we always take a big-picture look at things and try to learn the lessons. We don't try to control nature. We don't try to control the river. We try to work with it and coax it along to do what we want it to, but ultimately the river decides. So it's a big challenge, and we try to tweak the system and get it to work in our favor at every chance.
Yet some people would say mistakes were made precisely in efforts to control the river, to put it within confines and not to let it be a little bit bigger than it, to let it be as big as it wants to be.
Well, the reality of the situation is, though, we have millions and millions of people, 4 million people at least, that are protected by the Mississippi River and Tributaries Project. This is the combination, the comprehensive system of levees and reservoirs, flood walls, pumping stations all up and down the lower Mississippi River. At least 4 million people that are protected by that. And we would all like to see the ecological aspect maximized on this, but there are human lives at stake here, livelihoods, and so it's a balancing act, and there aren't any easy decisions, I'm afraid.
We're on the line with Jim Pogue, who's the Chief of Public Affairs in the Memphis District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Going to have a very busy day. We appreciate his taking his time to speak with us, and we have a caller. Len is on the line with us from Baton Rouge, a little further downstream.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for taking my call, Neil. I think I know Mr. Pogue from the old days. I'm a former LSU coastal science professor and a long-term employee of the governor's office of coastal activities in Baton Rouge, always involved in trying to save what I call America's Delta, the Mississippi River Delta that's dying for the reasons that Neil outlined, the levees and other control structures. And I'm curious, I think there's a huge missed opportunity here to not be talking about the sediment that is going to be dumped off the coast of Louisiana and lost that could be beneficially used during this and future flood events.
Well, where is it going to be dumped because of this flood?
It's going to be going off mostly off Southwest Pass and dumped in very deep water off the continental shelf.
And, Jim Pogue, this would otherwise be sediment that would use to be rebuild or extend the wetlands in that vast Mississippi Delta.
Well, I know that right from the beginning, as soon as we started to sense that we were looking at a huge flood like this, that we had our scientists, our biologists going to work looking for options and trying to lessen the damage that is going to occur. Once again, when you're dealing with an event this enormous, it's tough to get a handle on things like that sometimes. But I know our folks are working hard, trying to learn the lessons, trying to get it more right every time. And I appreciate what the caller is sharing with us. And I know if we'd be glad to hear from him in an official capacity or a correspondence method to weigh in with his ideas.
Len, I'm sure you'll be ready to take advantage of that invitation.
Absolutely ready. And I would suggest, before I get off the air, I would suggest that the Carnarvon Diversion and Davis Pond structures could also be used, as well as Bonnie Carey and the Morganza Spillway.
All right.
I know we're using every tool in the kit, and if it's the right thing to do, we'll use that.
Thanks very much, Len.
Sure.
Here's an email we have from Roger in Davis, California. Why in the world are people allowed to build homes in designated floodways?
Well, it's their property. We don't own the property. We have flowage easements in some areas, and in other areas, the land naturally floods every year anyway. So the courts decided that easements weren't appropriate for those areas. It's some of the richest farmland in the world, and so every farmer is a gambler at some point. And when the cards go in their favor, they can experience some truly productive harvests. It was not the case this year, though.
Let's see if we go next to John, and John's with us from Yankton in South Dakota.
Hi there. You know, South Dakota, North Dakota, the upper reaches of Missouri, gave up their rich farmland to help protect the downstream states. In years like this year, we get very little credit for the fact that we've lost our good ground. And with considering the record snowfall in the Rockies the last few years and how high those reservoirs are, they're sure helping you folks downstream out. It'd be nice to get a little pat on the back at least.
All right. Is John right, Jim Pogue?
I really can't respond to that in a knowledgeable fashion. I know that everyone has made tremendous sacrifices in this year of flooding, and I will personally extend a pat on the back myself right now.
Okay, John.
All right. You know, the Pick Sloan plan was put in after the 37 floods. And for those that have traveled in the upper Missouri area, you know, once you start at Yankton, there is a dam, you know, every few miles, so 90 to 100, and on Oahe, 250 miles from Oahe to Sacagawea.
And I see, because those dams prevent the silt from flooding your land and the water from flooding your land, the farmland up there becomes less productive.
Well, the farmland under those dams is basically gone forever. The land that's permanently underwater. The problem that we get into up here is that in the dry years when we have a drought, a lot of those lakes are being used for recreation, and the downstream states want to use the water for barge navigation, and they accuse us of being greedy. Well, when it floods, then they don't say, oh, yeah, it's a good thing the dam is there.
Oh, I see. So you get it coming and going.
You get it coming and going.
All right, John, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We're talking about the Project Flood, as it's described, with Jim Pogue of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Memphis District. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Jonathan in Lafayette. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana, driving over the Atchafalaya Basin as we speak. Opening the spillways is projected to destroy newly recovering shrimp and oyster beds. Is that part of the ecological damage you were talking about, Jim Pogue?
That's a possibility. I don't have definitive information on that, but that is a possibility. I know the oyster beds have been trying to recover. And so, once again, it's a balancing act of trying to minimize damage to property, to human lives especially. And there are always difficult decisions to make. I know I wouldn't want to have to make some of those decisions. There's a lot of sleep lost.
And as you look forward to the next 24 hours there in your district in Memphis, what are the decisions that may have to be made there?
Well, right now, the levee system is in great shape. We've got 150 or so people that are walking the levees night and day, 24 hours a day, watching for any trouble areas like what in the engineering jargon is called a sand boil, where water would go from the riverside under the levee and come up on the other side and bubble up. We're watching for those. In the rare occasions when we have found some, then there are procedures for dealing with that. So we have people out there watching continuously, but right now the levee system in the Memphis District, the federal levee system, is in great shape. What we're looking at in the way of flooding is, like I said, the low-lying areas that are adjacent to some of the tributaries that are not protected by the federal levee system, and those are the folks that are suffering right now.
Here's an email we have from David in Caruthersville, Missouri. Our flood wall protects us up to 50 feet on our gauge. Operation of the floodway at Bird's Point helped the river to crest at 47.7 instead of the 49.5 predicted crest at the 49.5 level barge would have produced waves that would have overtopped the levee. Thanks to the Corps of Engineers, the United States Coast Guard, and the Missouri Army National Guard, we were able to successfully prepare and fight this project flood. So that's part of the story has to be told as well. Let's go to John. John with us from Metropolis in Illinois.
Yes, I'm Metropolis. We haven't heard a lot about the lower Ohio floods, but we were just literally saved by the activation of the New Madrid floodway. When we were looking at 2.5 feet of water in our son's home, and we spent the whole afternoon moving all of the furniture out of the house. And then as we sat down to rest, we heard the blast, and we knew this had happened, and immediately the crest was dropped 3 feet, and our home was saved. And so I just want to thank the Corps, because I know there's been a lot of media just talking about, well, the poor people who, you know, who had to sacrifice, they had built their homes in the floodway, but they really shouldn't have done that. And I think the Corps did the right thing.
All right, John. Thanks very much for the call, and continued good luck.
Okay, thank you.
And Jim Pogue, well, all of us wish you and the Corps of Engineers good luck today.
Well, thank you very much. We've got people working, like I said, around the clock, working very hard. It's hot out there, and we have a dedicated bunch of people, and we're all very proud of them.
Well, keep working. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Jim Pogue, a public affairs officer with the Army Corps of Engineers, with us today from member station WKNO in Memphis. Tomorrow, sparked by the murder of the son of a popular poet, tens of thousands march silently on the streets of Mexico City, fed up with kidnappings, executions, and mass murders of the drug wars. We'll talk about the effects of that drug war tomorrow in this hour on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.